Luke 9:23 is one of the most important verses in the New Testament, I think, because it contains the essence of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus said this, Luke 9:23, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." This verse has so much truth in it today that, in fact, we're going to spend at least 2 weeks, maybe three, on just this one verse. We're only today, in fact, just going to focus on the first part of that verse where Jesus says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself." Jesus describes here discipleship. Discipleship is following Jesus. Pretty simple, okay? You want a simple definition of discipleship? It's that. Discipleship is following Jesus. Now, Jesus describes a disciple as, in this verse, anyone, that could be anyone, right here in this room, anyone who desires to come after me, he says. So anyone who desires to come after Jesus, to follow after Jesus, is a disciple of Jesus, one who follows after him. So the question is, then, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What is a disciple really all about? Well, let's put this verse into context. Earlier in Luke chapter 9, this is what happened. Jesus fed the 5,000. You remember this story, right? That story begins with Jesus trying to slip away from the crowds to be alone with his disciples, and being unsuccessful at that because the crowd followed him. They're out in this remote place. The people get hungry. It's late in the day. And Jesus takes five little buns and two sardines and turns it into dinner for 5,000 people. Incredible. Fantastic. It's a miracle, a true miracle. Now, a lot of people begin to follow Jesus. They had already been a great crowd following Jesus because they heard his teaching, because they had seen him drive out demons, because they had seen him heal people. People that were lame began to walk, and those who were blind began to see, and those who had various afflictions, he healed them. And so there were a great crowd of people following Jesus. And after he fed this 5,000, there were even more. They continued to follow him. They wanted more of that. But here's the problem. Both then and now, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Do we follow Jesus around like this crowd did so that Jesus will give us things? So that Jesus can fill our belly? Does being a disciple of Jesus mean a free meal ticket? You know, I think in 21st century America, our Christianity has tended to become all about what we get out of it. It's a sad thing. The focus for many people, many churchgoers, and many who call themselves Christians, the focus tends to be more on how can I get God to meet my needs? What can God do for me now? How full and abundant can God make my life? Is that what being a follower of Jesus is all about? And now, listen carefully, because I need you to understand those things that I just said are true. You know, Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Jesus wants us to have a full and meaningful life. God has promised to meet all of our needs. He is the one who provides for us and cares for us and loves us and sustains us and gets us going and comforts us. All of those things are true. But here's the point. If we pursue those things, if that's our focus, if my focus is the abundant life, if my focus is, you know, getting my needs met, my provision for me and my family, and if I focus on all those things that I expect to get from God, if that's my emphasis, if that's my concentration, Jesus says, you've missed the point completely. I think that too often our churches have become, and Christians have become, just consumer oriented. Our whole society is that way, of course, you know. And a lot of people, if they go to a church and they say, "Well, I'm gonna quit going to this church because I'm not getting my needs met. I need to go over here because they're going to meet my needs." And you see the consumer mentality of that? Jesus is not talking about Christian consumers here. He's talking about disciples. And there's a big difference. I think that too often we are much more comfortable in our Christianity with words like self-fulfillment and self-actualization. In fact, you can read all kinds of Christian books that deal with those topics. But there are very few that deal with the topic of self-denial. Self-denial. But that's what Jesus talked about. Is self-fulfillment what it means to be a follower of Jesus? Not according to Jesus. Not according to verses 23 through 27. Here in Luke chapter 9, Jesus says that being a follower of His is not about what we get for ourselves. It's about, on a daily basis, choosing not to live for ourselves, not seeking our security or our comfort, but instead, it's about self-denial. Now, why is that? Why is self-denial what being a disciple is all about? Why would that be? It seems so contrary to our human nature. By nature, most of us are just pretty darn selfish, you know. Not that we like other selfish people, you know. When we see a selfish person, then we say, "That person's selfish. I don't like them," you know. But we often act that way ourselves, you know, and that's what other people are saying about us. It's just human nature to be selfish. And it seems that our society today, and especially all of the advertisements that come out of Madison Avenue, fuel that. Self-fulfillment. That what's in it for me attitude. Well, why is it that Jesus says that self-denial is really what being a follower of Him is all about? Well, I think we need to remember that this passage on discipleship, here in verses 23 through 27, follows right after verses 18 through 22, which makes a lot of sense, okay? But if you back up to 18 through 22, what you find out is Jesus has asked His disciples about Jesus' own identity. he said, who do the crowds say that I am? They gave him various answers. And then he said, well, what about you? Who do you say that I am? Very important question, as we looked at a couple weeks ago. But the answer is given by Peter, and he says, you are the Christ of God. You are the Messiah, he says, the promised one, the one whom the Old Testament scriptures speak about, the anointed one of God. And so then, in verse 22, Jesus explains what it means for him to be the Messiah. He says, the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day. Jesus said his life and his mission were all about suffering, rejection, death, and being raised again. That's what it was all about. So if that's what Jesus is all about, what does it say if we are the ones who follow him? What does it say about us? If we're the ones that come after Jesus, and he's headed towards Jerusalem, where he will be rejected and suffer and die on a cross and be raised from the dead, what does it say about us and where we're going? About our journey in life. The implication is that the disciple of Jesus, the one who follows after him, should expect or anticipate the same things for his life as what Jesus did. The disciple must be like his master. You see, the reason that a disciple, one who follows Jesus, is really all about self-denial is because of who Jesus is. Because of who Jesus is. Jesus said you can never be a disciple of his unless you deny yourself. What does it mean to deny yourself? Well, the word deny there means to disregard, to utterly disown, to refuse. It's the same word that's used of Peter, you remember, when Jesus said, Peter, you will disown or deny me three times before the cock crows. You remember that? The night that Jesus was betrayed. Peter denied him. He disowned Jesus. He said, I do not know the man. And to deny yourself simply means that we say no to ourselves. Just like we said to the kids. I don't think that denying yourself simply means to deny yourself things like sweets or sleep. Or food, or giving television for Lent. It means that when you deny yourself, you deny self with a capital S. That big self, your ego, who you are, the big I. You know? Because all of us, the Bible says, are sinners. Our human nature makes us self-centered. We put the big I at the center of our lives, at the center of our universe, and everything revolves around me. I can't help but remember the lines, the final lines of the poem Invictus by William Ernest Hensley. At the age of 12, Hensley fell victim to tuberculosis of the bone. And a few years later, the disease progressed to his foot, and the physicians had to amputate his leg right below the knee. This happened when he was only 25 years old. That year, he wrote the poem Invictus while he was lying on a hospital bed. And despite his disability, he survived with one foot intact and led an active life until the age of 53. Invictus is a Latin word that means unconquerable. The poem carries a message about self-mastery in the face of suffering. It's about self-determination and self-will. It reflects an attitude of a life that is separated from God. Many have used this poem for inspiration over the years, including Nelson Mandela, who was in prison for 27 years on Robben Island. Another person who was inspired by this poem was Timothy McVeigh. The day he was executed for killing 168 people in the Oklahoma City bombing, he left this poem, Invictus, to be read at his final statement. The last lines of the poem are this: I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Contrast that with the unselfish life that Jesus taught. In Matthew, he says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In Mark, he says it, whoever desires to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And here in Luke, he says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So what exactly does it mean to forsake or deny myself? It means to refuse myself. It means to say no to myself and say yes to Jesus. Because that's what Jesus did. He did. Listen to these verses. John chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus said this: for I have come down from heaven to do, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. In John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. Did you see it there? Jesus was all about denying himself and following the will of his Father. In fact, Paul says this about how Jesus denied himself. Hold your place there in Luke and look over at Philippians chapter 2. This is a very key passage when talking about Jesus' self-denial. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5, he says this: let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Did you hear that? Jesus made himself of no reputation. The word there, no reputation, is kenosis. It's a Greek word that means to make empty, to pour out, as if I had a pitcher full of something and I dumped it all out on the ground. Poured out. Emptied. Jesus emptied himself. He humbled himself in verse 8. And in that act of emptying himself, humbling himself, doing the will of his Father, in going obediently to the cross, Jesus denied himself. That's what he was all about. Even to the point of death on the cross. So how should we respond if Jesus has shown us that that's what being the Messiah is all about? How should we respond? Well, if you back up a few verses there in Philippians chapter 2, you come to verse 3. And Paul tells us, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. What attitude did Jesus have? He humbled himself. He emptied himself. He gave himself. And Paul says it's the same attitude that we should have. That we should not just look to our own interests. We naturally do that. He said, instead, look to the interest of others. Put others before yourself, he says. Let each of you esteem others better. The word better there can mean before. Before you start esteeming yourself, esteem others. You naturally love yourself, love others in that same way. Self-denial, it's not glamorous. And it probably won't put you on the Fortune 500. But as far as Jesus is concerned, it's the only way to follow him. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor in Germany during the horror of Hitler in World War II. Because of his opposition to the Nazi tactics, he was put into prison. Was later hanged as a traitor. He understood something about the cost of following Jesus. In his book, The Cost of Discipleship, he wrote, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. And to explain that further, he wrote, self-denial is never just a series of isolated acts of mortification or asceticism. It is not suicide, for there is even an element of self in that. To deny oneself, he said, is to be aware only of Christ and no more of self. To see only who goes before us and no more of the road which is too hard for us. Well, I like that. Denying yourself is not thinking harshly of yourself or hating yourself. It's just not thinking of yourself at all. It's thinking about Jesus and about others. I want you to look in your notes in the bulletin that I gave you or that you picked up. And in the notes, you'll see three circles. Everybody see them? Nod your head. Okay. Those illustrations come from a little booklet put out by Campus Crusade for Christ years and years ago. The first circle represents the natural man. The natural man, the man without Christ. Self is illustrated by that big capital letter S. Where's the S? On the chair. The chair is the throne. of your life. And the cross represents Christ. Where is He? Outside the circle. Outside that person's life. The small black dots that are inside that person's life represent their interests. Things like family, work, hobbies. Notice how unbalanced all those things are. They're just kind of everywhere. That's the self-centered life. Now, the second circle represents a Christian. As you can see, Christ is inside the circle. This person has Christ in their life. It's a great thing. He has forgiven them of their sins. He's given them a new life. They have been made a new creation in Christ. They are belonging to Him. They're a Christian. They're a believer. But you'll notice that oftentimes, maybe more often than not, self with the big S is still on the throne. That's the carnal man. The carnal or the fleshly man. The cross, Christ is in his life, but self is still trying to be on the throne. He's still self-directed because he hasn't denied himself as Jesus instructed. He's basically a miserable Christian. Notice how all of his life is still unbalanced. Everything's not much has changed from before he came to Jesus. The third circle represents the spiritual man or a spirit-filled person. Self, with the big S, has been dethroned. And Jesus is Lord. Jesus is on the throne. Jesus is King in that person's life. That person has denied self and said yes more often to Jesus. Do you see how balanced the life becomes? Everything else in their life, family and work, and hobbies and everything else begins to take shape and have purpose and meaning when Jesus is on the throne of your heart. Think of it this way. As long as self is on the cross, Jesus is on the throne. That's why Jesus, after he said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself," he went on further to say, "and take up his cross daily." We're going to talk a little bit more about that next week. But as long as you are on the cross, my life is crucified with Christ. Therefore, I'm no longer living. It is Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is the way a disciple lives. And whenever self climbs back up on the throne, we put Jesus back on the cross. You see, the throne of your life is a one-seater. There's only room for one on the throne. And Jesus belongs there. You know, there are a lot of people that want Jesus in their life so that they won't burn in hell or so that they can have the things that they want. But there are a lot of folks that, even though they've asked Jesus in their life, they still want to call the shots. They want to maintain control. Jesus insists that we deny ourselves, that we dethrone self. So let me ask you as we close today, which circle represents your life today? Are you that person who is still in control of your life or still trying to be, and Christ is outside of your life? You have yet to believe in Jesus Christ, to confess Him as your Lord and your Savior, and to have Him come and live inside you through His Holy Spirit. You've not been born again. Are you that natural man? If you are, today I invite you, come to Jesus. Put Him on the throne. And let me tell you, He'll order your life. And you're going to find such joy. You see, there are benefits of being a Christian. But we don't go after the benefits. We go after Jesus. That's the difference. Put Jesus on the throne of your life. Secondly, are you in that second circle? Jesus is in your life, but more often than not, you're still trying to be on the throne. You're still trying to call the shots. You're still trying to make the decisions. More often than not, you're saying no to Jesus. Yes, so. Maybe today's the day you need to make that decision once for all. Let's put Jesus on the throne and let His Spirit help you to do that every day. And if you're in the third one, you know, He puts you there and makes you that way as the Lord of your life. He's on the throne of your life, not just so you can keep it to yourself, so that you can share it with others. Real disciples become disciple makers. And if you're in the third category, it's time to be not just a disciple, but a disciple maker as well. I'm going to ask that you stand as we go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to have an invitation time. As you bow your heads and close your eyes, every person just being quiet before the Lord right now. Father, if there's someone here today that has not yet taken and asked You into their life, believe in Your death on the cross and Your resurrection from the dead to give them life, taking themselves off the throne and let You be in control of their lives. Today, Lord, I pray would be the day of salvation for that one. God, maybe there are some of us here today that have Jesus in our life, but we've been living as a carnal Christian, depending on the flesh more than on the Spirit, saying no rather than saying yes to Jesus. Today, Father, I pray that today would be the day that that would change. You begin to do that work in our lives as we come to Your cross today, in the name of Jesus. Amen.